Welcome to this episode of Not Just a Game Podcast.
Welcome.
I'm Catherine Flick.
And I'm Tia Fortigill.
And this week we are basically catching up on a few of the exciting things that have been happening in our lives over the last 6 months.
I know. However many months it's been since PAX.
Yeah, so the last episode we did was that nice zombie episode last week, which has actually been sitting in my inbox for quite a while. But we now have a fantastic producery person, which is lovely Emma, who is doing our editorial stuff for us and making us sound good. So we're very happy about that. And it should make these more regular. We might be starting a Patreon, possibly, to actually help cover the costs of doing that. And therefore, it will also give us incentive to record more often.
We'll do our best.
You know. Yeah, well, we've got some good stuff coming up because we're going to ETHIC in Poland, and there's a few game-related papers being given, so we thought we might
do interview the authors.
We've got a lot of topics that we'd like to cover at various points. Yeah, so we want to keep a little bit on the women theme this week.
Yes.
Because
we're women.
We are, if you haven't noticed. We both
that's really fine.
We both identify as women, and we also play video games, and we have done for a long time. If you recall from our early video game podcast. Yes, back when we were. So the other thing that came out relatively recently about women and games is that apparently women don't play Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, so
we play Dungeons and Dragons.
We do.
We play it every week, pretty much, except if we don't have a full party, and then we play other things instead. But you know, we try to play Dungeons and Dragons once a week, and it's something that we enjoy doing with our friends. All the D&D stuff comes in my giant rolly bag. What's one of the best campaigns? I think I definitely love Tia's campaign. I think your campaign's the best. Because it's all homebrew. It's the best.
It is homebrew. It's basically a parody of England. I mean, I would say Britain, except for that most of the stuff is pretty much directly mocking, or at least an alliteration to something that Martin and I have experienced in these woods or Midlands, as the case may be. We call the setting the Langtons, and it's named after a number of nearby places. We've kept some gods from Terry Pratchett because they're very suitable, right? We've got the goddess Annoia of things that get stuck in drawers, which is very important. but we also have a custom ancient one for the warlock who performs all of his worship at an aga.
Explain what an aga is to our non-British.
It's a basically useless thing that people seem to think is like a really awesome stove slash oven slash all-purpose dishwater tea-making device.
It's basically a giant stove oven thing that old country houses have to look good in their kitchens.
Yes.
And then people often have, like, a gas stove.
Yes, people often have alternative cooking devices because, shock, these things don't work.
They're very slow. You've got to basically stoke them up in the morning with wood, don't you?
Yes, yes.
And then so people go on about how environmentally friendly they are, despite the fact that they
burn like 6 or 7 kgs of wood.
But they're basically status symbols.
Yes, they're absolutely kind of
especially if they're new.
Class issue. So the woods, they're very much, they're in this kind of contested place where they flag up certain values and aspirations. And so the warlock worships Macanthlith, my favourite place name in Wales. But Macanthlith is the ancient one of baking. And so all of his kind of worship and priestly duties take place at the sacred agas of Macanthlith.
It's just so funny because the last game we played, we were in this old house and the warlock was completely obsessed with rescuing this aga from this crumbling old kitchen.
No,
and it was just so funny.
And it was just like, and this is partly, of course, the group that you play with. And it's important, you know, to find a group that you can regularly meet with and enjoy playing with. And if you're not going to kill each other when the warlock randomly decides that his first priority is to release a random aga from an inn.
Yeah. you're trying to get it out the door.
You've been running a really fun, probably fun because you've been modifying it a bit, I expect. What's that? The Underdark one.
Escape from the Abyss.
Yes.
Yeah, that's been really fun. Been
very interesting.
Mostly because, okay, so this party that we play with, we're almost like, we were all
given pre-gens.
Yeah, I was
told to be edgelords.
I was trying to push them out of their comfort zones, and so I made them all...
Made me play a druid.
I made them all play edgelord characters. So my husband, who only ever plays paladins, I forced him to play a rogue, and of course... A dark elf rogue, which God. Is, like, the antithesis of his, like, high elf paladin,
legend
paladins. And so he's played that with just the most ridiculous, like, he disguises himself all the time, and nobody knows who he is, and it's just so... And he's constantly working to kind of just... mess with whatever.
Thwart everything.
So all these beautiful storylines in the book about teaming up with dragons and all this sort of stuff, and he instead of all that, he causes
I'm gonna lead a revolt!
And he causes a riot, and the dragon's angry with everything and burns the whole place down. I mean, it's just...
I mean, in a way, it's fantastic.
It is.
I mean,
it's
if you're very elastic as a storyteller, which both of us are, I think it's fine. If you can think on the fly, but also, yes, I can see.
It also helps to have a group that enjoys role playing. We'll get on a little bit about some of the games that we played recently.
Yes.
But, it definitely is. Anyway, so the point about all this, about how we are women and B play Dungeons and Dragons,
and we have for quite some time because we're old.
Yeah. Well, my first D&D game was when I was starting my PhD. So.
Okay, so it's really just me then. Sorry.
Yeah, so probably about 15 years in now.
Yeah, I've been playing since I was a teenager. So.
Yeah, no, I always wanted to though, because it looked cool, but everybody else, I was at an all-girls school, and to be fair...
Yeah, it was just what the only friends I had did in their spare time.
That's nice.
Well, yeah, we also read books, you know.
As you do. Well, I did a lot of that, to be fair. Mm. Anyway, so I read a lot of fantasy books too. So I was basically playing D&D.
Ride bikes and things.
I loved reading the Dragonlance books because I love reading D&D based books, but I never actually played the game because nobody would want to play with me. So anyway,
well, we do, and we would have done, but you wouldn't have gone to my school because
different countries,
and also quite different backgrounds,
probably. Yeah. But anyway, we are A, women, and B, we play Dungeons and Dragons. And this is a response to a tweet that had about 30,000 retweets. Actually, it turns out I was looking through the tweets, and it's someone that I know from PAX too, who originally tweeted it. So good job.
Somebody who's in our sort of wider social
network. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't realise that until I went and actually looked at it. Anyway, but it turns out that was quite a popular tweet, and a lot of people were retweeting
it
because it said basically, retweet if you're a woman who plays Dungeons & Dragons, because it was responding to another tweet that said something on the lines of, women don't play Dungeons & Dragons or board games or video games.
Yeah.
And, yeah, anyway, so a whole bunch of women retweeted it or talked about their Dungeons & Dragons games that they played regularly and how many women there were in their games, and a lot of men chimed in saying, most of my games.
All these blokes being like, well, actually, I'm the only dude.
I married a gamer.
Or I was just 50-50. Or like, one of the best things about my wife or my partner or whatever is that she plays.
So it was really nice to see all that. And
but it was also kind of like, are we still here?
Yeah.
We're still doing this.
Yeah, it's interesting because you go to PAX and stuff and you see the Adventurers League tables and all the people who go and play there. And I mean, I've played a couple of the Adventurers League games when I haven't been doing boothy stuff.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
But you do mostly booth.
I mostly booth, but I also occasionally have afternoons off if I have enough booth helpers to go and play Adventurers League. And it's really fun. Although I find the games very kind of, they play it to a certain style, and that's very much get through the adventure kind of style. So it's roll as in roll the dice play more than roll as in have a nice story. I mean, you gave them pre-gens, but you got all of, like, 10 seconds to get to know them.
Yes.
So it's not really long. And the I mean, you can take characters through, I believe, and keep your characters, and, like, they'll get levels and stuff, but it's kind of, you know, you lose them.
Yeah.
But anyway, but most of the games that I played had at least two or three women at the table. Mm-hmm. Like, I was never the only one there. And it was fun, you know, it was good fun. So
you recently organized a D&D related event.
Yeah, so we went to PAX East.
We were just talking about PAX East, and now we're going to talk about EMF Camp.
We've been having some technical difficulties, and I'm just checking the stream thing to make sure that the audio is okay, and I was like, I got caught out there. But anyway, so we went to EMF Camp. So EMF Camp, or Electromagnetic Field, which is basically a hacker camp, so not as in, like, hack the system.
Well,
sort of hack the system.
Some of those, definitely.
Yeah, but it's a camping festival event for geeky people that like to make things, hack things, create things.
Yeah, this could be carpentry, this could be cars, this could be computers, this could be art, this could be lights.
It was, yeah, giant flame
wedding
throwers,
dresses
that you can tweet and change the color of.
Yeah,
there was loads of really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. There, and yeah, so we played one of the things that I submitted to do, which I did last time as well, which went down really well, was to run a newbie D&D session. And I recruited some DMs, including the lovely Tia over here.
Oh my goodness.
And also,
I almost said no. I was just
I'm really
like,
glad that you didn't.
I don't like people.
Yeah, but they like you.
It's like cats. Cats always know who in a room doesn't like them. And they're going to go and sit on them. People know that I don't know what to do with them. Especially children know that I don't know what to do with them.
I don't think you give yourself enough credit there, too. But anyway, so we set this up and it was for Saturday night. And
it was rough, too.
It was really rough. we'd also been running around like chickens with our heads chopped off trying to deal with...
Our volunteering system is going to be working really well next year.
Time.
Two years time.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was helping organize a lot of the speakers and stages and stuff. So I'd basically been working all day, and Tia had been helping as well. So she'd been working all day. So we were both pretty exhausted.
Just knackered.
Anyway, so I took, but we went over there and set up, and I had about five other DMs. So we had seven DMs total, which was really nice. So it was a whole group from basically the EMF Camp IRC channel and a few people I picked up on Twitter and a couple of their friends. And so we had a kind of, you know, very enthusiastic group, to be honest. And I still had people emailing me saying, do you need more DMs? So that was really nice. And I now have a huge pool of people that I can pick from.
From which to select.
Yeah. Anyway, and it was great fun. So I wrote a little pre-gen. I did a bunch of pre-gen characters. So I gave them out I printed out all the spells and everything as well, because often the D&D pre-gens don't include the spells, and for newbies,
nobody wants to spend.
You don't want to sit there and flip through the PHB trying to find the stuff. So I printed all that out. I wrote a little game which was basically very loosely based off a story from the Witcher short stories, which I it was
fine.
Basically a dragon hunting story. Where, you know, you can go and hunt the dragon, or you can stop the horrible guy from hunting the dragon, and, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it sort of had a slightly more detail to it, but it had, at the heart of it, I like sort of having moral decision-making at the heart of the games that I play. So
players like it too.
Yeah, so I gave them a choice. They could either be horrible people, or they could be nice people, and sometimes they didn't even get to that point where they get to choose.
I mean, I think it all went really well. I had a couple of hiccups toward the beginning of the session, which only served to kind of intensify my nervousness. But they're both things that I think come in a way back to this tweet about women not playing D&D, right? Or you know, not kind of taking an active...
So,
interest,
I mean,
in these things.
It was very obvious that I was the organizer, because I was running around with pencils and erasers and bits of paper and giving and miniatures and handing things out to DMs and things like that.
Yes, it was maybe less obvious for me because I rocked up to an empty table, put my heavy bag of books down, and almost immediately some bloke scurries over and says, no, this is my table, I'm running a game. And I'm just like,
okay, then.
Of course you are, sweetheart. And I just sort of, at that point, I looked around and there was only one other table left at the very kind of far end of the tent. And I thought, well, I guess I'm going to get the one that's like really far away. This is not exactly great. I went to the table and I started setting up my stuff. And I already had my kind of two DM screens up so that I have lots of space.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy comes over and he sits down and he's like, can I join your game? And I was just like, I would be delighted if you would join my game. Thank you very much. And he was just like, oh, okay. You know, and I was like, oh, here are the pre-gens. Have a look, blah, blah, blah. And then a couple of other guys come over, turn to the dude who's already sitting down, and they say, hey, man, can we join your game? And I'm just like, ah.
Yeah, that happens.
And it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is like, again, going back to the kind of professional thing of being sort of assumed that you don't know your job or whatever. It's quite...
It's very frustrating because you often, like, especially when you put a lot of work into these things.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's just an assumption that it's going to be the men who's playing, and that is just frustrating.
The man who's running. Yeah. And, I mean, and you know what? I mean, they were really great. I had a fantastic time running for them. They were super fun. We had a really keen woman, gamer, who's, I think she was the youngest one there, and she ran the show. She utterly ran the show.
Well, we had a lot of women playing, which is great. So across the whole group, all seven tables had at least two or three women out of six players, roughly. Yeah, yeah. Some of them had a few more. But one of the women had her two daughters there with her. And she came up to me afterwards and said, look, we've had so much fun. Do you have any other games that we could play?
Yeah.
And they'd actually been, so one of the other DMs had brought along his own game. So I actually gave her all the pre-gens and all the game that I'd written. I said, look, just take these, go home, have fun. You know, it's not difficult. Here's a book you probably want to get. Like, so I gave her the PHB and stuff like that to go and get. And she was so happy. She said, I played this when I was a kid and I just wanted, you know, it's so nice to see my two girls getting into it, you know.
The woman at my table, she was really interesting because at the very end, and the whole time, I had this nagging feeling. I was like, I think you know a little bit more about this than the others at the table. But, of course, you don't, like, say anything about this stuff, and you just, like, roll along, because time is short. Like, even if it's 4 hours, it's still, like, it'll go really quickly. And at the end of the night, she's like, oh, well, you know, I always wondered what the fuss was about. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, my dad plays. You know, he's always played, and it was interesting to see, you know, what it was about. And I was like, maybe you could play the game with your dad if that wouldn't be too weird, or at least, you know, it gives you something to talk to him about. If you know, so it's quite a...
In some ways, that's kind of sad, too, because...
Yeah, it kind of made me sad.
Yeah, if my dad played, I'd want to play with my dad.
Yeah.
I reckon my dad would be pretty good at
games. Your dad would be awesome.
Yeah.
He would be, like, the most strategically sound...
He would, too.
I mean, he would just suss everything out.
He'd probably be a good rogue or something. He'd get the best deals. The best deals for things. Yeah, no, I can see him doing that. But anyway...
I'm not sure he'd refer to himself as a rogue, but...
No, he'd be a businessman.
He's absolutely...
No, my dad's great. But afterwards...
Yeah, afterwards it was really fun. I brought a couple of spare sets of dice with me. A really good friend of mine sent me as a gift a massive quantity of dice from a Kickstarter. They're these kind of super accurate dice that kind of roll randomly. I really liked them, but I had kind of two sets that I just basically never use. And I thought, well, I'll give these away to a couple of the players. And they stood around afterward and they, you know, had a chat and they really enjoyed the pre-gens. They, a couple of them asked them to take them with them. And I was like, sure, that's fine. And it was kind of... It was, I don't want to overuse this word, but a bit of a joyous ending, really, where I could see sort of people's imaginations were fired up.
I looked over at your table, because mine finished up very early, because my group was very much a set of role players. Like, they wanted to fight things the whole way through.
Okay.
Yes, so they wanted to fight, and so they got through things, like, they weren't as curious, and I tried to kind of bring story in, but they weren't they weren't as curious as I've seen other groups. But I looked over your table, and you're standing there and gesticulating and describing things and really getting into it, and I was like, yeah, you're having a good time.
Well, it's good, but it's this thing where I was terrified to do it, and I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this, because I invest a lot when I run, and because I do so much homebrew stuff, that I prefer just to play for people who are maybe not going to be mean to me, if you know what I mean. Like, and it's putting yourself in one of those situations where you are vulnerable and somebody could just like be horrible to you. And, you know, but I mean, now that I know what EMF camp is like and what the community there is like, the people who come to that, and that was probably never going to happen. The worst that would happen is people make the wrong assumptions or they're a little bit weird and territorial and ridiculous.
I mean, I've certainly been to say, like, I used to go to a meetup group D&D thing in London, and I mean, most of the people there who were regulars were fine, but occasionally you get these people who come along and they would just be like those sorts of jerks who just know it all and want you to know that they know it all, and they just be going, oh no, you got that rule wrong, and oh, you know, all that sort of stuff. And it's just like, nah, I'm just not interested in that. I threw a whole bunch of rules out the window because I couldn't remember them off by heart, and it kind of breaks the story up to be you're sitting there with a bunch of newbies. The last thing you want to be doing is sitting there and sifting through your DMG or your PHB trying to remember the archaic rules.
I try to keep the rules in, but if I think that it's going to slow somebody down, if it's going to bust up the momentum, if it's going to then I just kind of think, do you know what? This is a pretty difficult task. I'm going to have them roll a check based on whatever seems appropriate, and then I'm going to give it a guess. I'm going to give it a stab. I'm not going to try to kind of, I can't make this perfect because the story is more important.
That's exactly right. So I think certainly for my playing, I much prefer to have to focus on the story than on the actual the rolling bits. Although the rolling bits, obviously, that they're there to help shape the story. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not the be all.
They aren't the story.
No, exactly. Yeah. And that's also why I think I really like these kind of, you know, campaign-y things where it's more about the story than it is about
the system or proving that you have
if the
more knowledge of something.
Yeah, if the system's getting in the way of the story, then I don't think it's a good system.
Yeah. I had somebody recently suggest to me that I run something in the apocalypse system. I'm considering it.
Yeah. Anyway. But so but afterwards we got a really nice email from someone at your table.
Yeah.
And it was so lovely and
I've not been having a great time of it lately. There are some things going on with my health and my job that are making my life challenging. But every once in a while something happens and it's just the loveliest thing and you're like, oh.
It was this lovely thank you email that basically just said,
and we were both sent this email.
Yeah, so I was thanked for running it, but Tia was the DM.
Yeah, and it was just, it was one of the players who had been at my table who
had just realised that like they'd had a lot of issues trying to get.
Yes.
To play Dungeons & Dragons in the past, and this had allowed them to do that, and they were very happy about that. And I just thought that was so
Way, and the way that kind of the event was set up and the way that everything was executed meant that they could be comfortable and enjoy themselves. And I just kind of thought, how great is that?
Yeah, it was so
It was
lovely.
A really good
So
a
if
really
you're listening out there, person who wrote this email, we have been so touched by it.
Yes. No, it's just incredible.
Please do keep playing, and please.
Yes, we hope you find a regular group.
Yeah, because it's brilliant. Anyway, but EMF camp was just fantastic. We also gave our zombie talk, but we're not going to link that because it was not our best.
No. So remember how we said we were totally knackered on the Saturday night? Our zombie talk, which I think we did the best we could with what we had.
Yeah.
But by that point, I had completely lost my voice.
I'd had 4 hours sleep. Both
neither of us had much sleep.
We were so tired.
We were so incredibly tired, and we were presenting to an immense dark tent. We couldn't see anybody, and we weren't feeling like we got anything back from the audience.
Yeah,
all
the sound got kind of sucked out.
The sound got sucked
up,
and nobody laughed at the jokes.
No, they were laughing.
Well,
but
I just didn't hear anyone.
They felt very, very far away. But it was
it was not
our best performance, so we're not going to link that one. But if you find it,
we did add a little bit more information and stuff, and
we mostly talked about the Guild Wars 2 new quests.
Expansion. Yes, there's parts of it
zombies.
Where you. Use zombies
to
combat the apocalypse.
Yeah, to avert the apocalypse. Which
well,
not avert, actually, to fight
you take it to fight a fiery apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting aspect that we added to that. But EMF camp was pretty
Yes.
Pretty
yes.
bloody good, definitely I would say.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah, lots of game stuff there too. So mm-hmm. there's a YouTube channel, which I'll put a link to in the show notes, is I believe they're called.
Ooh.
And you can have a look at something. And if you find ours, please do keep in mind that we were really, really, really tired.
We were so done.
Yeah, and we were really done. And this is basically, yeah. So I think this is a nice baseline, and it can only get better. From there.
Oh man.
But anyway, to bring it kind of back to the full circle, women obviously play games, but the problem is the assumptions that come along with that, like the sorts of games that they play, what role they have in the games, like why they play them, like are they likely to be the DMs or are they just going to be playing the game?
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I think you probably get different games that, like, if you're you know, playing a D&D game with a female DM, it might be a different style of game. It might be more around the story than the rolling.
One of the most dungeon crawly hack and slashy campaigns I played in was run by a woman.
Well, there you go. So there's a stereotype as well. Smash that stereotype, guys.
I didn't get on with her terribly well, but you know.
Yeah,
everyone has different styles.
Sometimes you just need a good old hack and slash. Have you seen the original Gygax dungeon crawlers are coming back out, like they're re-releasing them for 5th edition.
Really?
So like the ones that have like rocks fall, everyone dies, that sort of stuff, like the really unfair ones.
Oh man,
they're coming out for 5th ed, so it might be, maybe we should play it sometime.
Maybe.
I also want to give a shout out to some really good D&D podcasts that have women on them.
Yes,
and particularly the one I'm listening to at the moment is called Quest, which is Quest for a Quest or something. Quest for a Quest. But it has the remarkable Trin Garitano, who also does the Friendship Inn podcast, which I'm a big fan of, and some friends of hers. And they are brilliant. They have great story-based games that I really
like.
It's all about the story. And they're also new and they're learning the game.
Mm.
So I think the other take home message is that it's never too late to learn how to play these games. So if you want to play D&D, there are lots of like online groups as well that you can join. So even if you
I know people who play them in Google Hangouts.
Google Hangouts works quite well.
Google is evil, don't forget.
Yeah, but use it sparingly.
Use it wisely.
Yeah. But So you can play online. You don't have to necessarily have a physical group, but if you can have a physical group, it's such a good way to kind of have an excuse to get together and share your week and get out of the house for a bit or make some food for people.
Yeah.
And it's such a nice, I think we lose a lot in this day and age of social media. We lose a lot of that physical kind of togetherness where you sit down and you share a meal and share stories.
And it's even different. My husband ran a one-shot Star Wars game for my birthday, and one of my very good friends was there, but he was there via video link.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful and gratifying to look around the table, and there he is along with all of my local friends. So you can mix and match them and get
quite
make
it work.
Good. Yeah. And I mean, everybody would kind of turn and look to him if something was, you know, appropriate for him to be doing.
Yeah.
So it was good.
It worked really well.
Yeah,
so do get involved, enjoy, and like go out and play games, especially if you're women, and like take your men friends with you so they can.
If you want.
If you want, you don't have to.
Nah.
There are also lots of other D&D, really good female D&D podcasts. I've just forgotten them off the top of my head.
Tanya
does. She does one as which I've forgotten the name of, and I'll put that in the show notes too.
Tanya, I Need Diverse Games.
Yes.
Yeah, we do want to do a series of shout outs to people at some point. Anyway, we can maybe do that the next time we do this.
Well, we can shout out to I Need Diverse Games because they're brilliant. Anyway.
Because they are brilliant. Absolutely.
But yeah, their chief person is involved in a D&D podcast too. Mm. So we'll link to that one as well. So yeah, go listen to women playing games
and go play them yourself.
And go play them.
Life is too short to not enjoy it.
That's a good place to end. Bye.
You've been listening to the Not Just a Game podcast. The music is Hot Machine Cold Surface by Ben Prunty from OC Remix. Graphics are from The Noun Project.
That'll be a song. Can we put that in the end after the credits?